And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
On June 23rd, the Phil Henry Show will leave the airways of America for the very last time. And if you are just joining the show, you probably are not aware of what this is. Maybe you just flipped it on. Maybe it's a radio show that you stumbled across. I will tell you what you're listening to tonight is a radio program that has created the kind of comedy that I believe some people who practice the art of humor on radio only dream about. And to be honest with you, we've got the proof. I mean, we've got people who have driven their cars off of the road. We have people who are physically injured because of they were laughing so hard at the things that we've done. We also have a fair number of people in the professional comedy community who like what we do. And so I say that to say that you missed it. However, tonight we're going to give you a taste of all of that, because what I said last night to Mark was this. We got a lot of flashbacks that we've had people emailing us requesting. They want to hear segments of our show again. And we're going to be going off the air June 23rd. Now, how are we going to cram all of these in? Well, I said last night, why don't we devote like the last 2 weeks or something like this? And then as I was driving in today, it occurred to me what I probably should do and what I think would be more fun is if we have maybe once a week a flashback show. Between now and June 23rd, I don't know how many weeks that is, maybe 5 weeks, 6 weeks. We'll have a flashback show a week or maybe two or however we spread them out so that we can get all of the requests that we've gotten played on the air and nobody walks away, you know, feeling slighted. So tonight will be the first of our series of flashback nights. Now, I know many of my longtime listeners are saying, oh, yeah, Phil does these when he is too lazy, doesn't want to write anything. Oh, really? Yeah, well, I got 3 bits ready, and I decided I'm going to do this anyway. So, ha-ha on you. I wrote 3 freaking bits. Well, Doug wrote some of them. And I got plenty to do, man, but I you know what? I want to hear some of these bits again myself. Maybe it's partially a selfish move on my part. So, we're going to start off this evening with a very famous and favored Steve Bozell bit. Steve Bozell is a independent contractor, a construction contractor from Corona, California, who is a father and a husband. He is a recent immigrant to the California environs from Knoxville, Tennessee. Pretty successful guy, but he's got one problem. He is so thin-skinned that even if you look cross-eyed at him, he sues you. And he's been known to sue not only friends, but he's been known to sue members of his family. And one particular show, he sued his dog because the dog took a leak on him. So we're going to play a bit from Steve Bozell. Just a very, very quick mention from some things we've seen in the news. Tom Hanks is blasting the Da Vinci critics, the Da Vinci Code critics, saying the story is, you know, he said it's loaded with all sorts of hooey and fun. He said, however, there's always going to be a segment of society that doesn't want this movie to be shown. But the Da Vinci movie is coming out, and it occurred to me, if you're Catholic, you could hijack a plane and fly it into a building. You could, for instance, start a riot. Shoot down some filmmaker as he's riding his bicycle through the streets of Amsterdam. You could behead somebody and then send the video to various news gathering agencies. See, if you do that, then they'll pull the movie. So take a tip from the Muslims. Saw some guy's head off today, and guess what? Freedom of speech is down the drain. Courtesy of the American media conglomerate. Think I'm kidding? You know I ain't kidding. All right, here we go, baby. The first of our flashbacks. And the letter comes to us. It's a request from Tony in Ontario, Canada, and he writes, hey, Phil, I was wondering if you could play the Steve Bozell bit when he was pitching against his daughter's softball team, and his daughter hit a home run off of him. It was one of the funniest bits I ever heard on your show, and it made me a loyal fan. Thanks, Tony, Ontario, Canada. Tony, here it is. Steve Bozell, his daughter went downtown on him.
I have to tell you something, honestly, and please don't cut me off. Let me finish, okay? This is the most arrogant human being I've ever heard in my life. You think that just because a woman is athletic that immediately... Wait a minute.
You're calling me arrogant.
You are very arrogant.
She's the one that watches the Three Stooges and everything.
I'm not the one who watches the Three Stooges. I don't like the Three Stooges, but I rock climb without ropes, and I'm married to a man. And you know what? I make more money than him, and I take him out to eat all the time.
Rock climbing, every woman does. I'm talking about real lesbian stuff.
You know, you're stereotyping every lesbian as being a good baseball player, and
they
that
are.
Is not how it is.
They're damn good. Damn
well, you
good.
Know what? Maybe you just feel inferior because she's better than you are.
No girl can be better than a guy at baseball unless she's, you know, playing fast pitch.
Do you have any college education? Because you sound...
Who, me?
Yes.
I went to JC in Knoxville, Tennessee for a half a year. Then I come out to California.
Well, I think you need to take some biology classes because you're completely confused. You're misconstrued about gay and lesbianism.
Wait a minute. What is dissecting a frog going to help me about my daughter hitting the ball really good? Are you crazy or something?
Why are you feeling so inferior because your daughter did that? She wasn't outing herself.
All right.
She wasn't flamboyant. Did she have a sign, ride to the game on a bike with dykes on bikes?
And there she is, loving the Three Stooges. And also,
what is the Three Stooges? So what? I like Abbott and Costello.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Okay, do you also watch Monday Night Raw? No, I didn't think so. She does.
So
I rest my case.
We're diverse people. We have lots of different interests and lots of different tastes.
Monday Night Raw is the wrestling thing?
You better believe it. Bingo. Give the man a cigar.
You are taking it out on your daughter. And you know what? Honestly, I think you added her because you said her name on the air. You're the one making a big deal out of it, practically in tears, because you think you're so good.
Hey, that's
right.
Well,
you know what? Maybe you suck and you just think you're good.
No, I'm really good. I got 6 no-hitters. And also,
everything I hear out of you is just I. It's all about you. Me. What about your daughter? You are damaging her. In fact,
what about
you ought to be proud of her for being such an athlete.
I sent pamphlets around the neighborhood about her being a lesbian, so they treat her gooder.
They treat her gooder. You need to go back to school. You know what?
Oh,
you are absolutely ignorant. Ignorance is not bliss.
Oh, you all think you're so smart.
Well, I have 3 degrees, and I happen to know that you're very wrong, you're very arrogant, you're very self-centered. Every stereotype in the world that I have ever heard of before is coming out of your mouth.
And what do you mean you sent pamphlets around the neighborhood saying
that
she was a lesbian?
That's outing her by him doing that.
No, that's not. Telling him don't hurt her.
What are you talking about, man? You just mentioned her name on the air.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did.
No, I did not, ma'am.
Well, you need to rewind it and play it again because you did. You said your daughter's name was April, and then you said whatever your last name is.
See? You don't know. Because I never said my last name.
You need to hear yourself. I hope you get a tape program of this because you are absolutely the most asinine, arrogant, pompous person I have ever heard of in my life.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
You don't know what I mean by that? Because it's about you, not about your daughter. Your daughter didn't sit there. You know what flamboyant is? Look up in the dictionary what it says. It says ornate, okay? Was she wearing a bunch of pins that says, I'm a dyke, look at me? No.
Yeah.
Beat your butt by getting a home run.
Right.
She should have hit you in the head and knocked some common sense into you.
Man, that rock. That's Steve Bozell. I haven't heard that one in a long time. His daughter's on the fast pitch team, Steve Bozell. Oh, I like that line. Yeah, she watches Monday Night Raw. Hey, do you remember, I don't know how many of you remember, do you remember the Bobby Heenan show? It came on after, like, that WWF, I don't know, I forget what it was, like Monday Night or something. That show was the greatest. The Bobby Heenan show, he'd go, bring me another guest. He'd turn it with his back to the guest. Go get me another guest. I used to think, man, that show is fantastic. It's the funniest thing. Now, naturally, it's not on the air. Why? Too funny. You can't be too funny, baby. You got to watch that. For those of you who want to get into the broadcasting business, radio or television, try to tone it down a little, okay? Tone it down, man. We don't want people laughing that hard. All right. Coming up, we've got a Bobby Dooley flashback. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show as this evening we devote to requested flashbacks from our many listeners, lo these many, many years, as we look ahead to the final broadcast of the record-breaking, legendary, record-smashing, you know, all that cool stuff, Phil Hendry Show, which will be going off the air on June 23rd. Oh, by the way, we got the news we predicted. Teachers is dead. Dead, 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 Red. It is dead, baby. Ain't going back. NBC said, you know what, there's only, you know what, we don't mind dead, but do we gotta, you know, how do we bring back a corpse, man? So that show that I was in, along with Justin and Sarah, the two Sarahs, and Dion and Matt and Kali, it is not going to be picked up for the fall. It's gone, baby. Gone with the freaking wind. However, there is good news on the TV front. Now, this is just, if you want to keep following Phil Henry after he leaves the air, we've got a lot of stuff happening. You're going to be definitely hearing from us, but it'll be in a different medium. It's going to be in the medium of television and perhaps film. I'd like to do a drama. I want to bring back Point Break with Patrick Swayze. You know, the Reagan masks and it. Yeah, it's good. All right, now, if you've got a request, we're taking them. PHS@PhilHenryShow.com. PHS@PhilHenryShow.com. We can get a limited number in by the 23rd. We have not, you know, Michelle's been deleting a lot of them because she didn't want to overload us, but we've got room for a few more. So you can email us at PHS@PhilHenryShow.com, but we're trying to get the ones that we've got stored, you know, the ones that have been kind of backlogged, played on the air, and then we're going to get to some of the newer ones. We'll be back with a Bobby Dooley. And this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Tell the lesbians that Bob Green is coming and hell follows.
The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
So just remember, when coming out here to the land of sunshine here in California, if you want to get into the entertainment business, the film business, do a hard-hitting expose on somebody who ain't going to start a riot. Otherwise, they don't want to know it, man. So this Da Vinci Code, this is going to be great. They can go on, do this flick. I don't know anything about it. Maybe really cool. My son read the book. He believed all of it. I said it was a load. He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah." And in any event, they're going to do this flick. It's going to be a beautiful thing, and all the Catholics will sit there biting on a towel. Meanwhile, all them ragheads, they're running around. Just, they can't wait to start sawing heads off. All right, time now for another request. This one comes to us from Matt Conti on our flashback night. And Matt writes, "Hey, Phil, I was wondering if you could play the bit that was called Cat Sex, where Bobby Dooley says cats have sex outside of her house just to annoy her. Love the show. Say hi to Bud." Hi, Bud.
Yeah, whatever.
Matt Conti. All right. Matt, this is from actually one of our best of CDs. Bobby Dooley, the president of the Western States Homeowners Association, was upset with these cats howling outside her window at night, and this pretty much tells you what she does about it. By the way, in the background, you'll hear the voice of Mike Crozier, my engineer back in the day, who was also the guy laughing his ass off on All You Can Eat Negro. So this is another Mike in the background bit, playing the part of a cat.
Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association talking about the cat problem in their neighborhood and the cats having sex in the yard. And the question that we're asking right now is whether this sex between the cats is consensual or not, you know, pleasurable. But a lot of people maintaining there's no such thing in the cat world.
If you're a mother, Phil, and you care about your children, I think you have to take everything into consideration.
Well, anyway, her husband's been shooting these animals, and it's gotten a lot of people upset because some of these cats are pets.
And these cats also, Phil, I think, set a poor example for my daughter. The behavior is very slut-like. It's just something that I don't want her to see at this stage of her life.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment quickly. Like everyone else has been saying, cats do not have consensual sex. Cats, the female cat excretes a scent when they're in heat, and the male is attracted to that. It's that simple. It's all part of animal behavior. It's instinctual for them.
If you're saying that cats do not have consensual sex, then there must be some equivalent of rape.
It's instinctual for them. You like the other. The
what
other
do you
college,
mean?
You are attaching a human behavior to an animal.
Well, but the date rape that we were talking about.
Date rape is something that happens between human beings.
Yeah, date rape is not the term. If you're saying rape, cats can't rape each other.
But rape implies that it was non-consensual sex.
Do you know about
what everyone is?
Can I have you listen to something, please?
I've heard the tape already. I've been listening to the. Okay, if you want to question how it sounds to a child, that is one issue, and I can understand. Well, let me finish. I can understand why you'd be concerned, you know, about your child hearing that. But that is the sound that a cat makes.
I watched the male push the female down. All of his weight on her back.
But okay, now you implied that the cats were doing it style, to use the crude term, and that.
Wait, now you're saying they're doing it missionary?
Well, she was on her back with her. Yes.
Cats don't have sex that way. I mean,
well, how do you know?
Well, I can't imagine how a cat can have sex
Right. Cats do have sex, like
you know,
said.
You know,
it's
Mr.
that
Henry,
simple. But
Mr. Henry, all I know is that her legs were wrapped around him.
Well,
I did see two cats, and one of them was engaging in pleasure with the other.
Well, okay.
And we cannot have that. I don't know why the gentleman's laughing. Just listen.
Well, ma'am, cats do not have sex. Ma'am,
that's what I'm talking about.
Cats do not think this on the same level as humans.
Why would the female be sitting on top of the male cat?
I'm imagining what's happening is...
I saw her hips and rear end as he had his paws on her hips.
What are you talking about? He had his paws on her hips.
Ma'am, cat...
All right, thank you very much.
Well, I guess that was the end of that.
So she hung up on us?
Yeah, I think she hung up.
Hello?
Oh, hello, yeah.
Yes, sir, how are you?
I'm just, the whole thing is kind of scary to me. I mean, what if my kids are doing something in the backyard that she took objection to? Is she going to take a pot shot at them?
Well, Ms. Dooley, you're back.
If you're going to laugh at me, these cats were engaged in bestial sex in our backyard.
Yeah.
And at one point I saw the male cat put his cigarette out on her.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I heard the cat say, "Take it all, me."
Bobby Dooley, cat sex. Put a cigarette out on her. That's from a time when Bobby sounded a little bit like Mavis. That's way back, man. That's before we were national. That was on our local Los Angeles show. We've got some other things from Miami. We're playing our flashback request tonight. And we're going to be doing periodic flashback nights throughout the remainder of our time on the air. By the way, I don't know if you got the news, but for you old-timers, I guess it's interesting to note that Floyd Patterson, interesting and sad to note that Floyd Patterson has died 71 years of age. Floyd Patterson was a heavyweight champion of the world in the 50s and early 60s. And I'm trying to remember, he did fight Muhammad Ali, and Muhammad Ali just took him apart. I'm thinking he came back in 1960. He regained a world heavyweight title when he beat this guy named Ingemar Johansson. Johansson beat him in 59 in New York. And I guess that's when he lost it. He beat Johansson again in 61. He beat Tommy McNeely, and then he finally lost the heavyweight title to Sonny Liston in 62. He was knocked out in the first round. I mean, this was a new day for prize fighting because on the horizon was a guy by the name of Muhammad Ali. And even Sonny Liston wasn't ready for that. Sonny Liston And Floyd Patterson fought one more time in 63. Liston retained the heavyweight title, but then, you know, he met up with, and then Cassius Clay got his ass kicked. And on we went with the Muhammad Ali era. But Floyd Patterson kind of came up in the day with, you know, right after Marciano and was a great fighter. Floyd also had kind of a pompadour hairstyle. It was kind of an interesting thing. Anyway, he died at the age of 71, for boxing fans, I am one. That's a sad, sad passing to note. All right, so let's move along here because, you know, I'm trying to...
Yeah, are you trying to bum everybody down?
I'm not trying to bum it. It was a news item that I wanted to mention, okay?
Yeah, it's like, hey, the Da Vinci Code, why don't you hijack an aeroplane?
I didn't say hijack an aeroplane.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You liar. Yes, you did. You liar.
I said if you wanted to get the movie taken off, do what the Muslims do, or some of those ragheads, hijack an airplane, yeah.
You're a liar.
Oh, get lost. You're bugging me, man. Get me another one of those Starbucks. I want a triple shot latte, okay?
Venti?
Yes, a Venti. Get him. Venti? Boy, you are a real fan, aren't you, bud?
I think it's wonderful.
Jesus. Yeah, get me a Venti, man. All right, coming back with another request, flashback request. Don't forget, phs@philhenryshow.com. If you want one last time to email us and hear what you'd like to hear, we'd be happy to do that for you. And I want to also tell you that the website will remain online throughout and beyond. So the one thing that is not going away is, well, me and our website. phs@philhenryshow.com is our email, but our website is www.philhenryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show. Discover your inner nun.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm just looking here at Floyd Patterson. He fought Ali in 65 on November the 22nd. He got a TKO. He lost by TKO in the 12th round. That ain't bad. It ain't great, but it ain't bad. He got knocked out, though, by... No, he didn't get knocked out. He lost in 12 to Jerry Quarry, the same Jerry Quarry that, like, Ali just took apart a couple times. Jerry Quarry was a very game fighter, but sort of, like, not good. And then he finally lost again to Ali in 72, and then he hung it up. He lost to Sonny Liston two times, knocked out in the first round both times. Okay? So he's the heavyweight champion of the world. He meets Sonny Liston in 1962, September 25th. He's in Chicago. Knocked out first round. Comes back a year later, Las Vegas, knocked out first round. Same guy. Now, let me ask you something. Is it that you didn't learn anything, or there was just impossible to... So, poor old Floyd Patterson, he's gone but not forgotten. Okay, it's time to get to another flashback request. And this one comes to us from Scott Fuller in Portland, Maine. Scott writes, "Hey, Phil, I'd love to hear a bit from a few months back. It involves one of your characters hiring a stand-in to, quote, give it to his blind girlfriend, end quote, for one reason or another. The kicker in this bit was that this character's belief that he was going to convert her to Christianity so somehow it would all be okay in the end. Thanks for the show and the inspiration to begin a career in radio of my own, Scott Fuller." Scott, may I make a few suggestions about, before you get into a career in radio? A, make sure that you know exactly what you want to do. B, do it. Be respectful, but do it. Do your show. The more you know what it is you want to do, the less they're going to mess with you. C, always appreciate that you've got such a great gig. And D, bring some Lysol. You never know who you're going to shake hands with. All right, it's time now for our flashback. So this is Larry Grover, who hired a stand-in to, quote, give it to his blind girlfriend. Why did he do that? I don't know, but in any event, it was all going to be cool because he's going to convert this blind woman to Christianity. Here it is.
He says that it's urban legend that blind people don't have a more heightened senses, but I'd like to know where he gets his information from. I think it's hogwash.
Well, ma'am, first of all, there is no clinical, scientific, or reference material associated with any laboratory testing or any scientific testing that shows that blind people have heightened senses. It is all...
your information? You say that it's been debunked, and I'd like to know what book I can read that in.
I will tell you this. The proof is not on my shoulders. The proof is on your shoulders. Now, you show me where the scientific model exists that blind people have heightened sensibility, and I will believe you. There is no scientific model because there is no proof, and it's not on me to prove it. It's on you to prove it if you believe it.
Okay,
I'm going to have a guy who waxes, make love to my girlfriend, and that's all there is to it.
Will you just let the lady talk for just a second?
Yeah, I teach deaf kids, and I can tell you that deaf people get in 40% fewer car accidents they have a heightened sense of visual.
And ma'am, where's your proof?
I'll give you three books. Get a pen. Okay, the first book is called Language in Motion.
Language in Motion, written by who? What is this? Is he an academic, or is he just some guy that wrote a book?
I don't know the name. The second book is called The Mask of Benevolence. Book is called The Mask of Benevolence. It's by Harlan Williams.
Okay, he's not a doctor either. Well, he's not, ma'am. I mean, see, you realize what scientific proof is. You have to have a laboratory test. You have to prove if something is a fact as opposed to rumor or internet rumor.
Well, I'd like to ask how you think that you're right because you know one blind person.
It's not on me to prove it. It's on people who claim it to prove it. You see? It's like people saying we didn't go to the
moon. Why wouldn't it make sense? Ask yourself why that wouldn't be true.
It's got nothing to do with sense. It has to do with whether it's true or not, and it is not true.
I mean, clearly sense doesn't mean anything to you if you're going to have somebody else have sex with your girlfriend. What is wrong with you?
What's the matter? Are you angry, teacher, because I'm making you prove something? You know, what do you do to your kids? What do you do when the kids ask
you
about
it? I don't even know why I'm actually wasting my time arguing with a man who would have some other man have sex with his girlfriend. You're clearly sick in the head.
Ma'am, I may be sick, but you don't have any proof, and you're a teacher.
I feel sorry because you're going to have somebody else have sex with your girlfriend. How could you deceive somebody that you supposedly love?
What did you get off of this kick about deaf people having better eyesight or something?
Let me answer my question. How can you deceive somebody that you supposedly love, sir?
I'm not deceiving anyone that I love.
I'm lying to her and making her think it's you having sex with her. Meanwhile, you're whoring her out. You don't think that's deception?
Whoring? I mean, the guy's paying me...
Oh, I'm sorry, it's free. I guess it's flooding
her out.
Well, no,
all right, he's paying me $50, but only because...
He's paying you to have sex with your girlfriend?
You
sir, you're a pimp.
No, ma'am. No, hold on for a minute. He's given me $50.
You're pimping your future wife out for $50?
You just left. You think it's funny. See?
I think it's bad. I think it's pathetic, sir.
I got to hold on for here. Why are you giving... Why is this guy giving you $50?
Because he said that was the deal.
Oh, man. I feel so sorry for that poor
girl. It was about 5 years ago that a woman laughed like that. It was my wife as she was walking out the door with my four children. She stood there with her cigarette laugh.
I feel really bad for you, but the fact that you're hurting this other woman to make your ex-wife pay for...
You know, you're angry at me because you still can't prove that blind guys can touch better or whatever this thing is that you believe.
Well, that's why you're angry. I feel so sorry for your future
wife. I want to get back to this whole thing. When you talk to this man in this restaurant, and he did he come up with this idea?
Yes, he did. And I had prayed on it for a long time.
He said, I'll make love to your girlfriend if you pay me $50.
I thought it was reasonable.
How is that reasonable to pimp your girlfriend
out,
sir?
You're laughing. Well, why do you act outraged when you're laughing?
But I think I'm outraged that you're taking advantage of a blind person and taking $50 so some other man can abuse her.
How much would it cost? Well, I shouldn't say it. You'll be insulted.
What?
I was going to ask Laura how much would it cost.
There's not enough money in the world.
Man.
How could you do that to the woman that you supposedly love?
Well, how can you tell your students that you're a teacher when you don't have proof for stuff?
Sir. But you know what?
That's
gotta
stink.
I might not be able to point to a study that will give me the statistics of something that I know.
Are the parents aware of this?
How can you say you're a Christian and then take money from somebody to have sex with your girlfriend? You're a common pimp,
sir. Well, ma'am, how can you take money for being a teacher when you don't have any source material?
You're making a whore out of your wife.
Hold on for a minute.
You are making a whore out of your wife.
Well, ma'am, you are lying to parents and students saying you're a teacher. So you and I...
What is Jesus going to say when you get to the pearly gates and say that you took $50 so some other man could put his... The woman that you love.
What's the school board going to say when they find out that you don't have the credentials to be a teacher?
You know what? You can try and turn this back on me because I don't have a book for a statistic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It really is
too much of me to ask for you to have a book for a statistic, isn't it? Look, it's $50 so she won't leave me. What's that between friends?
Guess what? I'll give you $50. You let her go and find a real man.
Right.
How's that?
You will?
Yeah.
All right.
You know what?
All I need is your last name so I can talk to the school board about your phony credentials.
All right, look, this has gone on long enough. This is all personal.
Let me send you a check.
You know, this lady here, and I said she doesn't have reference material. I scored 3 points on that, and she won't give it up.
I'll give you the name of three books that I want you to read, if you can read. I want you to read, people have a heightened sense.
I'll read the books, but I asked you for a scientific model that it's proven, and you haven't given it to me. I'll read some guy's opinion, sure. If you want me to read a guy's opinion, I'll read a guy's opinion. Until then, I'm giving this guy $50.
Honestly,
he's going to give
really
it to my girlfriend.
I feel like I owe a statistic to a man that would take $50 to whore out his girlfriend.
Well, ma'am, I don't owe any explanations to someone who shows up in a classroom fresh out of bed with her boyfriend to teach some kid stuff she doesn't know.
I was the one in bed with my boyfriend instead of paying some other girl to have sex with him.
Yeah, your boyfriend of 24 hours. Now, I can tell you that I can't believe
you're trying to get into a moral conversation with me when you're taking money from some other guy to abuse your girl.
Yeah, right. It's got nothing to do with our morality, does it?
What is Jesus going to say when he knows that you took $50 to turn a whore into your wife?
You know what he's going to say? He's going to let me in through the pearly gates, and as we turn around and look at you going to hell, he's going to say, was that the chick that you did? And I'll say, no, her name was Elena.
I'm going to hell because I don't have a study, and yet you're whoring out a girlfriend for $50.
Lady, you will cook in hell because you lied to little tiny children.
God, what a conversation. Larry Grover nose to nose with a teacher about whether blind people have better hearing. Meanwhile, him and Jesus are walking through the pearly gates, and they flip around, and Jesus says, is that the chick you did? As she's going to hell. Larry Grover, that's a flashback request, and we've got more to come tonight here as we play back segments of our show from years and years gone by. The last broadcast of the Phil Henry Show will be on June the 23rd, and if
from that day forward, we are in a whole new business, baby. It's called Let's Do These Characters in Front of the Camera. And there will be things to report on that front, and there's been a lot of good news. We did get the bad news last night. I got it when I got off the air. I saw the email. The teachers is not going to go. What are these Fight Club videos about, man? What is this? And they're selling them? You know, I can go out and choose off some guy and start beating the crap out of him, and I can have my kid, you know, my daughter film it. They got this thing on. Oh, I get it. Okay, it's O'Reilly. Never mind. O'Reilly is looking out for you. All right, so anyway, what was I saying? I forget. Yeah, so get your requests in, phs@philhenryshow.com. We do have some email to read. That is apart from the email that we're reading in terms of the flashbacks. Here's a guy that writes, hey, Phil, who do you recommend us loyal fans listen to in the enormous vacuum that you'll be creating? I know there's nothing that compares, but surely there's someone in radio you know worth listening to. Yes, I will put my stamp of approval. I would like you now to listen to Tom Likas. It is cutting-edge humor at its finest. Okay. 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I'd like to hold you down and just slap away.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
You ever see Prince of the City with Treat Williams? Great movie, 1980. Well, there's a character in there plays his cousin. He's a mob guy. But he talks like this. Hey, Danny, what are you going to be a good guy to? The guy talks, so I don't know what the hell language is. He's speaking English. He says, me, I'm going to save your life. I'm going to give you somebody about that. You know the guy, you guys that saw King of the City, you know, I'm going to find out who that guy was. I wonder if he ever got to that Hooked on Phonics. All right, anyway, time now for another flashback. Paul Tubby Lane. And it says, this is a request from Mike, says, hey, dudes, you did this segment a while ago about how if you own a small car, you should be drafting large cars or something like that to increase gas mileage. Kick-ass Mike. It was Paul Tubby Lane, Mike, and here it is.
Listen, this is a crazy idea. I am not fixing to put my wife and my kids in my Saturn and get behind some big SUV and him let up on the gas. I don't see any brake lights, and I run right up on him from a length and a half behind. It's not going to happen.
No. You're a length and a half behind, sir. That's plenty of time to react.
When I see no brake light, when all he does is have to let go, and I'm pulling draft on him so he slows down faster.
No. You are not accelerating as much, so you don't have – in other words, you're not dealing with your own horsepower.
Your ability
to brake that vehicle is going to be much, much better. And you owe it to yourself when you see a big truck, some guy elevated off the ground with airplane tires – and he's got the big cowboy hat, and you say to yourself, boy, is he asking for it.
No, I'm not risking my wife and kids to his whim whether he's going to slow down, tap his brakes,
get road rage,
and see me in his rearview mirror. It's not going to happen. I'm not risking my kids.
What about the point that if the guy lets off the gas, there are no brake lights?
That is correct,
right.
Yes.
Okay, so you can't see if that guy's slowing down.
No, but the point is, in drafting, when he lets off the gas, you automatically are going to slow down because of the suck. You've got a semi vacuum between the two cars.
But it's
almost
not
like
be the
one
same.
Unit. It's like one unit. So when he slows down, your car is going to slow. If he brakes, you pull off to the left or the right, and you're going to fly right by him. If you've seen racing on television,
if there's an opening, and I'm not risking my kids hoping there's an opening. His big vehicle, with as much wind resistance he's going to have, is going to slow down much faster than my Saturn.
Right.
And I'm not fixing to just run right into him.
That's when you pull the wheel one side or the other, and you just you slide by him like you are greased crap.
Yeah, sure, man. Thanks a lot there, Paul Tubby Lane, a guy who used to be a wannabe NASCAR driver, but he was winning a lot of Atari events, so he didn't need to get into that real stuff. And that is a request there from whoever that guy was. Thanks a lot, dude. I got another flashback request. What do we got coming up there, Mark, so I can tease it, as they say, so I can give it a little bit of a, just a small bit of a tickle, you know, just a, another Steve Bozell at the top of the hour? Oh, we don't have enough time for another one? Well, that blows. Hey, I'll tell you who that actor was that says, who are you going to be a good guy to? From Prince of the City, we come back. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You know I'm gay, right?
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, coming up, we are going to play a Steve Bozell flashback that's one of our favorites. We get an awful lot of requests. It's funny, I wouldn't think that we get more requests for one character than another. We get a ton, man, for Bozell. At least we've got a ton. So we've got another one to play. This particular one is probably one of the lowest, sickest. You know, it's funny, you can say that and people, oh, yeah, sure. You can say that it's a bit that pushes really, where are you supposed to go with comedy? And people say, oh, pfft. Now, Steve Bozell will be on our program here in a moment to talk about how he didn't get any news play at all. Nobody made any attempt to interview him or otherwise put him on the news, even though he committed an act of sexual violence against one of a student in a wheelchair. And somehow it's funny. We have a character that we do in our show named Herb Sewell. He is a predator who spent 8 years in a forensic hospital, a psychiatric hospital for the criminally insane. And he's a regular character of ours. He's a child molester. And yet he's funny. How can this be? How can this happen? Well, we did it. We did it, and we're done. That's all I wanted to do. And as soon as I create a character that is a sick, twisted animal like Herb Sewell, and people actually like him, I'm done, I'm through, I'm leaving the business. And that's exactly what I promised myself I'd do. I succeeded. June 23rd, we're history. And there may be some people saying, yeah, not a minute too soon. Whatever, you know, you're entitled to your opinion. But never let it be said that that Phil Henry couldn't do the unthinkable, make a child molester funny. I did it. And now I'm going to walk off the roof of this building, so there.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.